the backside of Brandon Moore to knock the ball out.
DeSean Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
You play to win the game.
And you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
What's up, people? We are back again for another episode of True Degenerates. Like usual, we got the man, the myth, the legend, the Mikester with us today. Mike, how you doing, man?
Just as I think we're going to get off of some Eagles talk and just focus on some other areas, they blow us up with a coaching hire yesterday.
Are you happy with that hire?
Let's
get right into it. Might as well. Next question.
Next question.
I mean, serious, I won't get fined.
There's so many different components of it. I can't say whether I'm happy about it or not. I don't know like a whole lot about the guy. He really hasn't had to develop a quarterback. So, and yet they're tasking him with fixing a quarterback in his sixth year. So, I mean,
I don't really call it like fixing. I mean, if you look at the team last year, I mean, granted, listen, he played bad. Like, what everything about Wentz, his progression, footwork, throw mechanics, you name it, bad. The year before, dude, that team, he wasn't that bad the year before. He wasn't that bad. And actually, he carried that team to a playoff berth. You can't take that away. Dude, he was throwing the ball to freaking a wide receiver who couldn't catch. Miraculously, now he could catch. And Joe Schmo, the hot dog guy. Hot dog here. Oh, suit him up. He can play wide receiver.
And then what about the year before that?
That was a Super Bowl year. Oh, no, year before that. No, that's the year he got the back injury. Yeah, that was a weird year, though, the back injury, because no one knows when it happened. It definitely it could have happened. Some people say it happened in the second half of the Colts game. No one knows when it happened, but that's...
So I kind of still see it as, like, they're trying to fix a quarterback going into year six.
I mean, he had a bad year. I mean, look at the good. Like, Ben Roethlisberger had off years. Drew Brees did it. Aaron Rodgers, he had off years. Off years.
I don't know if McNabb I can really say.
McNabb had off years. You can't say he didn't.
So, my problem with mentioning Wentz in the same breath as all of those quarterbacks, including McNabb, are three of those guys have won Super Bowls. And McNabb is arguably the best Eagles quarterback of all time.
No, he is the best Eagles quarterback of all time.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, he can't take that away.
He is the best Eagles quarterback of all time.
I mean, a lot of people put Cunningham over him. A lot of people put Jaws over him. But no, what McNabb did with this team, no, he is the best. You can't say he isn't. We weren't going to get the top-notch guy because we waited so late. We waited a week after the last game, let Doug and Howie do a press conference. Then all of a sudden, this mysterious meeting came out the Tuesday after, like, oh, Doug Peterson's having a meeting with, Jeff Lurie's having a meeting with Doug Peterson. Oh, here it comes. Oh, and all of a sudden, he gets fired. And who knows actually why he got fired. Some people say it's because of Wentz. Others say it's Wentz and control. Other people say it's control. We're never going to know why he got fired unless a book comes out, you know, 5 years down the line. But I didn't gather my thoughts here. I got a million miles an hour with this comment because I'm just
kind of... No, I know, here. because you're so, like, miffed by how this was handled.
Yeah, it was handled piss poorly, but no credible coach was going to come here, or credible coaching prospect was going to come here with Howie Roseman having all the control about drafting and who even suits up on game day. So you're going to get the bottom of the barrel coaches. Now, I mean, we don't know if he's going to do. He could be great. We're not going to know until next year. You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, I didn't think Doug was going to be great, and he won a Super Bowl. So who knows with this? But the bigger issue is, why not Deuce? That's the million-dollar question.
So, going with what everything was coming out about their coaching search was their main question, it's pretty much as easy as, like, do you like Carson Wentz? Is he your starting quarterback? Are you going to try to fix him? Are you going to give him a fair shot? Basically, a no to any of those questions pretty much was, okay, you're not going to be our next head coach. So yeah. It's come out this week, and I think last week, that Deuce was not happy with the way that Carson was babied for the most part.
Yeah, I saw that article as well. But that, I mean, that can change, dude. That's a speculation. We don't know. But what bothers me is Deuce. I mean, listen, I wasn't high on Deuce. Yeah, I've made it perfect clear. I wasn't high because I don't think he was that great at his position, it's fair. I mean, the running backs really haven't been great since the Super Bowl. I mean, we can agree with that. But the issue I have is Deuce was more qualified for this team to be a head coach over Sirianni. He was. I mean, he has more pedigree in the NFL, been coaching now for a while. I mean, he knows the team. If anything, it should have been Deuce based off that. But I just...
I was going to say, it's a very weird situation.
Yeah, like, it is.
He was offered the offensive coordinator job after Frank Reich left.
Yeah.
And he turned it down because they told him he wasn't going to be calling plays. So I can't really blame him for that.
Oh, no, you can't. No. Well, Sirianni never called plays. 2 years.
He was still the OC. So I guess, like, maybe if Deuce was technically the offensive coordinator, maybe he'd have a little bit of more say in the game plan.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily calling the plays. But maybe he helps script the first 10 or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, Doug, we need to run the ball instead of being, like, assistant head coach / running backs coach.
Slash maybe water that, boy, slash this person, whatever made-up position the Eagles decided to give him to keep him happy.
And look, like, I think he got a lot of respect in that locker room.
Oh, he did. Oh, yeah, he was highly respected in that locker room.
Hey, Deuce, we need you to dress up as Swoop today. All right, you got it. Like, he would do anything anybody asked him to, and he would do it well. And he'd run through a wall for you. Then he would go and rebuild the wall, jump back over it, and run through it again.
Yeah, that's standout guy, too. Class act. He's a class act guy, too. Everyone says that about him. Like, he's so, just like, top-notch.
Thinking that maybe he would have been a disciplinarian, maybe that answers why we didn't see, like, a Miles Sanders. Why didn't we see him in the second half? Because, like, I believe he was in charge of the running back rotation.
Yes, he was.
So is it possible that maybe Sanders missed a block or something or missed assignments, and then he was like, you know what, kid? You got to learn the hard way. You're sitting the bench.
If that's the case, though, he was purposely taking the best offensive player off the field, which hurt the team.
You know what? Yeah, it may have hurt the team run, but that's you know what? Good. The guy has to learn. Yeah, I know, but you got to learn a lesson.
Oh, you do.
I'm only speculating. Because,
oh, yeah, it's all. No one knows what the hell's going on unless you're inside the actual building or the interviews. You're not going to know what the hell's going on. No one knows what's going on. But I just lost my train of thought here. I have so many things just going through my brain with this whole topic. But what bothers me also about this is when you have a person who is an offense coordinator about to possibly take his team to a Super Bowl with one more game left to go and actually turns the job down, says, no, I don't want that job. Everyone, the Bills offensive coordinator, was it Dable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
not a good look when you have someone who could be a head coach that wants to be a head coach. No, Philly. Ooh, I don't want Philly. That's bad. that's not good, man. I mean, it was just, this organization right now is just run so piss poorly that it's almost like a slap in all of our faces. It is. You can't say it's not.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing. It's almost frightening that we've become, I hate to say it, but we've almost become the Dallas Cowboys.
I was going to go with Cleveland Browns, but
Dallas Cowboys, where the owner is just poking
his Leatherface. Yeah.
Yeah, he's poking his nose in too much. He wants this player. So, I mean, going back, I guess this coach is going, the coach and the front office are going to have to decide. And I don't think Jalen Hurts is the type of guy to rock the boat and say, like, I'm not going to be a backup to this guy. But I feel like Wentz is, if Hurts is on the team and is his backup, unless he undergoes some sort of like psychological counseling, he's going to be consistently looking over his shoulder.
See, I don't think...
He did it with Foles.
The back injury. I mean, we don't know if he actually thought that way. It's a speculated. Like, yes, if he did thought that way, that's a huge problem. And I will not defend that. Because,
look,
one way.
Arguably, like, after his injury, after Foles came in and won the Super Bowl, he looked over his shoulder the next year until he got the back injury and was out.
It didn't help. That they put a statue of Foles up to. Hey, that's, come on, we'll be honest here.
It's not like he won 15 Super Bowls. It was the first Super Bowl ever, and the guy was a Super Bowl MVP.
You can't put a statue of the guy up. Like, that's right. Come on, man. That's not good. I mean, especially when Wentz was the reason why they had home field advantage with that winning streak. Like, that's just a slap in the face, dude. You know what I mean? That's a slap in the face.
I don't think it is. If you're that fragile, then this is not the city for you.
No, I mean, I guess if he is that fragile and he's constantly looking over his shoulder, you know, not playing loose, like, oh my God, oh, I'm going to do this. That's not good. He probably has to either move on or go through some kind of counseling. This is not the city for you. But at the same exact time, though, is, you have a backup quarterback who wants to start. Jalen Hurts wants to start in the NFL. He got his chance. Now he wants more. So now you're going to have – if you go into next year with Wentz and Hurts, quarterback battle, let's say Wentz beats him out.
There's no battle. It's predetermined.
Plus Wentz is still – until he comes out and sucks, it's still, as of right now, the better quarterback. Until he comes out and sucks, that's – right now, he is the better quarterback.
Because his job until he comes out and sucks.
That's what I'm saying. His job. He has a starting role, but we're going to have fans next year. All right. I don't know if it'll be full capacity fans because it all depends on vaccines, but we're going to have fans next year. We all know the first incompletion he throws, the boos are going to be coming down. The Hurts chance to be coming down. That's not a good look either, man. That's not good either. You can't say that is. So, realistically, this team, though, is not going to be that good. That's just realistically, right now, on paper, half the locker room is going to be cut because of salary cap or moved on from because they're old. So, you're going in with a bare-bones defense and an offense of who knows. It's just question marks at this point. So, this team probably is not going to be good. So, now you're in mix that... It's just, to me, it's just a lose-lose, no matter what happens. It's a lose-lose scenario for us next year. Next 2 years, actually. I can't really expect him to be, give me someone here. For him to be Aaron Rodgers out there when...
Yeah, but you said...
I can't realistically see that with this team.
So...
Unless Rager comes out like Devontae Adams next year and starts burning defenses, I mean, realistically, he's throwing the ball to no one. Let's just be honest here. I mean, Whiteside's probably not going to be back. Alshon's not going to be back. Deshaun's not going to be back. I mean, unless they draft that Alabama wide receiver. What's his name? Yes. I mean, it's – the offense is – I mean, yeah, Miles Sanders. Maybe the running game can get going. I mean, that might keep defenses honest, bring them up into the paint a little more, you know, stack the box. It might open things up on the outside. Maybe it'll be Travis Fulgham, Rager, Ward as you're starting, and then you still have Dallas Goedert. I mean, so maybe, but realistically.
Let me ask you this. Out of Wentz's career, do you expect him to be up there with the Aaron Rodgers of the world?
Yes. As of the money contract he got.
When does he start playing like that? Because Rodgers has never had a first-round pick receiver to throw to.
Listen,
the only first round pick he ever completed a touchdown pass to, I think, was like Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, but still, Devontae Adams, dude, is playing lights out. Like, he's probably the best, arguably top.
I think he was what, second round pick.
Yeah, arguably. In the game. Like, so, like, he's better than any receiver we've had since T.O.
That's great. Does he have the same career if he doesn't? If he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers from the beginning?
I think so, because he. I would say maybe a slight decrease, slight, but I still think he'll still be a probably top five receiver without Aaron Rodgers.
From the very beginning of his career, if he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, I would still say, because he's still good. That. He still has talent. Talent still wins, man. I mean, the only time I know where wide receiver sucked when he played with a shitty quarterback was probably Randy Moss with the Oakland Raiders. I don't know if you can remember that. That's a long-ass time. Yeah. But that's the only time. I mean, granted, that was towards the end of his career. Because what? He only had played, two or three years with the Patriots, I think, after that? Or 2 years after that? It was 2 or 3 years after that with the Patriots. I can't remember my brain. But that's the only time I know of a wide receiver who was great going to a team with a shitty quarterback and not putting up numbers. So, but
point being, like, Wentz may never have an all-star cast of receivers. Aaron Rodgers has never had really. I mean, he had Donald Driver, who had a really nice career.
He did.
Jennings towards the end of Jennings' career.
So good. So better than anything we got.
He had Adams.
Still better than anything we got.
Okay. Wentz could be given one guy, but I just feel like that will never be enough.
Well, look what happened with.
If Wentz is unsuccessful, it'll just never be enough for the hardcore Wentz defenders. And look, I'm all about it. If we have Wentz next year, I'll take a seat on the Wentz wagon and I'll ride it. You know, I'm a Birds fan. Yeah,
until he sucks.
Until the wheels fall off again.
Yeah, which is fair. That's a fair thing to do. But realistically, this squad next year, I'm not expecting him to come out and just be, oh my God, he's so good. Look at him go. When you have you're probably going to have a makeshift offensive line again. Who knows what Rager is? Travis Fogle, it'd be nice if Alshon Jeffery's gone.
I think the offensive line will be better if Kelsey is back and anchors center.
Even if Kelsey's not back, the offensive line.
He'll be back healthy.
Yeah, he'll be back. Then you're going to have Dillard starting.
Brooks.
We still have that bet going on. Brooks, Dillard.
Probably Sailmalu.
It's not going to be Sailmalu.
Mailata, Sailmalu, Kelsey, Brooks. And Lane, that's a Pro Bowl offensive line right there.
We still got the bet going on. It's not going to be my lot.
Oh, I know.
It's not going to be my lot, man. It's not going to be. That's the way Howie Roseman worked. Come on, dude. He took Travis Fulgham off the field, who was the best receiver in the game, for Alshon Jeffery. Let that sink in for a second. Just let that sink in, man. That's what we're dealing with right now. But, I mean, and then the defense. Dude, this defense is going to be a shell of itself next year. Granted, it was already bad enough to begin with. But you're going to have Barnett's going to be gone. You're going to have Cox will probably be gone. You're going to have, what's his name? Slay will be back. Who the hell is the safety? Both safeties are going to be gone. They're both gone. Linebacking core, maybe they can ride with those three again. If not, you're going to see Nate Gary back out there. But it's not going to be good, man. We're going to have no edge rushing. Cornerback, maybe. Maybe not. Who knows? If we drafted that, what's his name? That stud cornerback coming out. If we get him, then hey. Our cornerback. Cornerback's going to be good. But safety help, nothing. It's just not all around, dude. Okay, so we've been talking a lot about Wentz and Hurts and Doug and Howie. That's just like the tip of the iceberg, man. And you know what they say about icebergs? Most of it's underwater. The entire roster is the underwater part of nothing but shit. Right?
Yeah.
It's a bad
roster.
And here we are
on Friday night, and we just can't stop talking about this toxic, what seems to be turning into a toxic franchise at this point.
Yep. It is a toxic franchise. We're sitting here just having beers, talking about how bad it is, remembering the good old days when we had stability. Remember those days? Here's a question for you, Mike. Huh? Was that?
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe 3 years ago. So if I came up to you 3 years ago, I say right after, probably let's go to Monday after the Super Bowl, right? Monday after the Super Bowl, I came up to you, like, hey, man, listen, believe me, give you a heads up. 3 years from now, this team is going to be an absolute train wreck. Doug will be gone. Who knows who your coaching staff is? Would you believe me?
I probably think you would be crazy because it's like Doug would have a job for life. He just won the first Super Bowl in history here.
Yep. Yes, and he came on that press, you know, that parade. This is the new norm, man. And look where we're at now, man. We all believed it. Yeah, we had to believe it. You couldn't not believe it. And then we brought in, you know, was in Mike Rowe. And it's like, oh, all right, we'll see how this works out. And, you know, the back injury, getting blown out. But still, hey, so made it to the second round of the playoffs, that double doink. Thank you, Cody Parkey. And now we're here. It's like a plane crash, man.
It's like, it's wild. I mean, I know we started off talking about Nick Sirianni and
yeah, I do want to get back into that.
We'll find out who he fills the rest of the staff and eventually. But I mean, like, here's
well, he's not filling out. It's Howie Roseman filling out the staff there.
Well, yeah. Yes,
get that straight.
Sorry, my mistake.
You better be sorry.
So, like, if he doesn't, quote-unquote, fix Carson, and the Eagles end up going 4-12, 3-13, 5-11, something like that, does this guy have a job next year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He'll have a job next year. But the issue that I have with that statement is we're probably, even if Carson Wentz plays decent, we're still going to have this. I don't see us getting above 8-8. That's just me. I mean,
I'm saying, I hope we go like, you know, 14-2 and we're back in the Super Bowl next year and we win it all. Obviously, like, that's the
year.
But the reality is, like, this team could end up going same record or worse than this year.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And Wentz could be just as bad, if not worse. Does this guy have a job?
Yes, he'll have a job. After that, though?
As what? Like, the quarterback's coach for Alabama?
No, he'll still have a job next year. They're not going to fire him year one. That's not going to happen. Year two, if it still struggles? Yeah. 100%, yeah.
I don't know. I don't see... Yeah, but... So, I can understand. If they wipe the slate clean... If they moved like Carson and Jalen Hurts, if they moved both of them and said, here you go, you go out in the draft, like you can have your pick, or they said, you have your pick. You can have Carson as your quarterback. You can have Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, or you can go out in the draft and we'll find you a quarterback or, you know, whatever you want. This is your team. Find your guy.
I mean,
Carson, like, he never worked with Carson. He never coached
the Eagles. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he probably got told stories from the glory days from 2017 from Frank Reich. So, I mean, like, I don't know.
Carson
may not.
But
Carson may not be his guy.
No, he might not be. But the issue is, too, is here's another question for you. If the Eagles do suck next year, does Howie Roseman come back? Because if Howie Roseman's gone, then you have to blow up everything. Like, you have to blow up the entire team, roster. No one's safe at that point.
Well, at that point, I think Howie would be gone. Yeah. I think Carson would be gone.
Yes.
And everyone then it would be like, then maybe you end up with, like, Jeffrey Lurie going, wow, I was an idiot. And then you decide if it's Jalen Hurts or another guy going forward.
But Jalen Hurts, I mean, there's no still guarantees he'll be back next year. I mean, dude, look at that. Look, Philip Rivers is just retired. You had Drew Brees retired. You have Carolina, who is, I would think, a good quarterback away from being a contender. Who else you have? You have Carolina.
San Francisco.
Yep. Sucks. Yep.
New England. Cam Newton. New England. Sucks. Yep.
So there's teams out there that need quarterbacks right now.
Yeah.
So there's no. I mean, yeah, we all put the thing to, you know, Frank Reich and Carson Wentz, Indianapolis, but he can still, I mean, they can still move on from both these guys. I mean, yeah, granted, we'll be the first team in NFL history to cut a player or trade a player with 20% of the cap next year. That's what we can't, but it's, I mean, if they come up to you, but yo, dude, we'll swap first round picks. We'll give you next year's first round pick, a couple seconds, and a player. It's hard to say no to that. You know what I mean? For any of the quarterbacks, for Wentz and or Hurts. You have to. I mean, it's, I don't know. But the question is, I mean, the question I'm waiting to see is who's still going to be OC? Who's going to be the defensive coordinator? I mean, there's still a lot of holes to be filled, and unfortunately, we're a week behind everyone else. So, thank you, Howie and Doug. I mean, Howie and Roseman. Howie and Lori couldn't get it out there. Thank you for that. But it's – I don't even know where to even go with those two positions. Like, who – who are you? I mean, does it matter?
For what? I mean, OC and DC?
I think DC matters, but OC doesn't matter.
DC, they were talking to the Colts, like, defensive backs coach.
Robbing the Colts again.
Yeah.
Robbing those Colts. Take all their team. Take
them all. Offensive coordinator. if the Eagles are really as smart as they think they are, I would almost try to poach someone like Ken Dorsey from Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
The quarterback coach there, and be like, we want you to be the offensive coordinator, so he will have direct contact with Wentz, because they want Wentz to basically be Josh Allen this year, which is Wentz of 2017 again.
Yep.
And if it doesn't work out with Sirianni, but it starts to look like it may work out with, like, Dorsey.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't mind that.
The heir apparent.
Here's another OC for you. This is an out there one. He's a former head coach, all right? Granted, he has health problems right now, but I think he's better. What about Jim Caldwell?
Caldwell?
Caldwell, I'm sorry. Couldn't get it out there.
I think I saw something today where it's actually Josh McCown, and he and Josh McCown are actually going to be interviewed by the Texans for the head coaching job.
Oh, Josh McCown? Where the fuck did that come from?
They announced it today that they're looking to interview.
Where the fuck did that come from? Josh McCown,
he's a high school coach already, so I mean.
Yeah, Bieniemy, you said for Texans, right, before I make the statement?
Yeah.
Bieniemy is going to be the coach of the Texans. He will be the head coach of the Texans.
He might stay in Kansas City.
He won't. He's too good.
And my thing with Bieniemy, too, did he really have to develop Patrick Mahomes? Was pretty much wrapped in a bow. Like, he had a bow on him that said, like, Merry Christmas, Kansas City.
Here you go. Here's your next quarterback for 10 years. Yeah. There it is. No polish. no polish necessary. Just go out there, plug and play. No, he didn't. But he's still, that team is still, look what that team is doing. Granted, it's probably, you know, Andy
Reid. Probably Mahomes calling the play.
No, I don't
think it's Andy Reid. Andy Reid still calls the plays.
Yeah, but Bieniemy still has a hand in that offensive script. I mean, dude, that team is just scary fucking good. I mean, so it's still – he's still going to be a damn good coaching prospect. He's the top coaching prospect. We'll just say that because we don't know if he's a good coach or not. But he's the top coaching prospect. He's going to go to the Texans with Deshaun Watson if he's still there, which I would imagine if Bieniemy's there, he will stay there. And that team will be good. I mean, he has his franchise quarterback. Granted, he doesn't have any other weapons, but he has a staple. He has his franchise quarterback. There it is. There was a rumor that I don't know who put it out there, that Deshaun Watson could get traded to Jets. You see that?
Yeah, I would almost think that he goes to Carolina.
Yeah, that's Matt.
Imagine
Rule.
Him in Carolina, yeah. Matt Rule, that offense, man.
Dude, if he was
free. You would have, Curtis Samuel, you have DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. I mean,
jeez, man.
Like the 4th of July down there.
I'm kind of curious of why they didn't keep, was it PJ Walker? Why they didn't keep roll with him after he came in? That I still don't understand that. Because it's not like, it's not like, God damn it.
Teddy.
Thank you. I burped and I completely forgot it. Thank you, brain. It's not like he was lighting the world on fire. You know what I mean? And PJ Walker played halfway decent. I don't understand that. But dude, Matt Rule, a damn good coach, man. We should have been us. Should have been us, man. Nah. One more year. He would have waited one more year. Should have been us. But I digress. Let's get on. We'll get some lighter stuff, dude. Some actual, what's the word I'm looking for here? Some actual good things in Philadelphia. Some highlights.
Yeah.
How about the Sixers, dude? How about the frickin' how about Embiid or Embiist, as now he's gonna be known as?
He's something else, man. He's really put the team on his back this year.
Dude, versus Boston the other day. 33 minutes, 42 points, 12 for 19, 10 rebounds, 2 assists. Like, dude, what the fuck, man?
he's figured out how to beat the double teams.
Yes.
He's not trying to do too much, really.
No, he's not. He's just better. He's just
more mature. Like,
yeah, he's way more mature. Oh yeah. More in shape too.
He doesn't look like he's on a die out there come like the third quarter. He's ready to go.
Doesn't look like, you know, halftime, intermission, whatever we want to call it. He's not at Chick-fil-A trying to get scarfed down a couple Chick-fil-A sandwiches real quick.
I like a tuna melons.
My tummy hurts.
And a 20-piece nugget.
I mean, dude, not only that, dude, our starting, this team, dude, when the starters are out there, because of COVID, we kind of lost some people. It's, you know, unfortunately, now they're all back. And I think Seth Curry's back.
Yeah, he's out there.
He is out there tonight? Okay, he's playing tonight. I have a game one right now. I should be paying attention. But it's this team with the starting lineup, dude, is damn good. And with Doc Rivers as the head coach now, you can just see the difference in this team. Because we saw at Brett Brown, they wouldn't be this good. They wouldn't be this good, you know, coming back from behind like they're doing right now. It's just it wouldn't happen.
I know, yeah, and I know we always end up in a debate because, and no matter what we talk about, we're gonna debate something here.
Oh yeah,
and I know like this is the lighthearted thing, and look, Embiid is playing at an MVP level, and knock on wood, you know, if he stays,
yeah, I get it trending. Get that trend going, hashtag MVP and Beast. By the way, if you listen to me, you could have locked them up at 50-1. Just saying.
I know, man.
Just saying.
He's just saying. Down like 15-1 now.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Actually, but I mean, like, knock on wood, he should be a top MVP candidate.
Oh,
and I know that, like, one of your biggest complaints is like Ben Simmons.
Oh, here it is.
And I hear it all the time on local sports radio. Everybody is harping on his stat line. Well, I mean, take a look at it. He averages 12 or 13 a game. I think like 8 rebounds and 9 assists.
Yes.
Almost averages a triple double a game.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to fucking hear that.
So here,
I don't want to hear that.
We'll say it's 9 or 10 assists a game.
Okay.
So bare minimum on his 9 assists, that's 18 points that equates to. Bare minimum. Could be more. If somebody hits a 3 off of that assist, right? That's another way to look at it.
But the second, that is another way to look at it. But the second best player on his team, who is supposed to be this transcendent player, and he's supposed to be great, I need more than a 10-point triple-double. 10 points.
So you need more than a 10? It's 12. It's 12, by the way.
Okay, whatever. I need more than 10 points. I need him to be in the high, low 20s, mid 20s a game. For a second best player, look what Harden and what's his name did with their first game. They combined for like 75 points. Was it 75 or 76?
It was three dogs fighting over a bone and they lost to Cleveland, who stinks.
But still, I need production.
I'm pretty sure I could go outside right now on a Friday night at, you know, 8:45 and find like 4 other guys that would be like, yeah, all right, we'll play against the Nets and we might even beat them because they're just 3 guys that need to have the ball.
Hey, you're right, especially with all 3 of them are batshit crazy too, which is the best part about it.
Shit, we could be down like 90-0 at halftime and still have a chance because they're just still like fighting over who's going to get the ball. And you know it's going to break out soon that like there's going to be like you know, fighting in the locker room. People are going to be throwing shoes at each other. And
you're going to see James Harden eating his chicken wings at the strip club, the local strip joints.
Yeah.
Freaking strippers all around him, chicken wings. And that's going to be a whole big controversy.
I get where you're coming from. And I get that, like, in order to win in this league, you need to have basically two great players. You can't have a great player and a good player and then a bunch of, like, role guys.
Yeah.
And I know Simmons is not on the same level as Embiid right now. But as far as, like, the scoring goes, I mean, look, I'll take Simmons' line of 12 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, whatever he averages, like 2.5 steals and, like, 2 blocks a game on average. I'll take that. Plus, you have Harris, who averages, like, 18. You have Curry, who averages another 18 or 20. Milton, another 18 or 20 points. Like, you got guys
that can't rely on these. You can't rely on the Shake Miltons, the Thibodeaus, who's the other guy, the rookie Maxey. You can't rely on them right now. I mean, yes, Seth Curry, he's, what is he, the top percentage three-pointer?
Harris.
You can't.
I mean, there's so many guys on this team right now that, like, they can make up for what Ben doesn't score.
But you need Ben to be the player we drafted him to be, which is the all-star. That's
he
what
is an all-star.
I can't say that anymore, man.
He's not elite.
But we drafted him to be elite. So I need eliteness. I need 20 points a game. I would rather sacrifice some of his defensive skills if it means him getting to the rim more and getting points. I mean, granted, he does get the rim and he passes the ball back.
I think
I'll sacrifice it all day. Like a mind sacrificing it to the sun god.
Yeah, you're going up to the temple and sun god is smiling.
Exactly.
Down, there you go.
The knife but coming down. Like,
yeah, the knife coming down.
No questions asked.
The sun pile. There we go. I am on the other half where, like, I do not want to give up any of his, you know, defensive play to go out and get a guy who's going to jack up 25 shots a game. You don't need that. You got guys that can do that. Curry can do that. Milton can do that. Harris can do that.
Can't rely, especially you can't rely on them.
The third quarter comes around and you're in a, like, single-digit game and you need the clamps down on defense. You need him out there.
If you're in a single-digit game, fourth quarter, in the first quarter, then I need him to be the player we drafted him to be and put some fucking points up to win the game. I need him to have that last second three shot. The last second, I'd say mid range, that three shots, little stepping out of bounds here is in the shoot. I need him to want the ball with notes, you know, let's say 2 seconds left on the clock. He posts, you know, little step shoot and makes it. I need that out of him.
I don't see that as his job. He is like you have Embiid. Embiid's that guy. You have Green. Green's a clutch shooter. You have Curry, who shoots the lights out from no matter where he is, contested three or not. You got Milton, who he's really developed into someone who was a streaky shooter into somebody who's a consistent scoring option, whether he's starting at the two or he's coming off the bench as your sixth man.
Yeah.
And then Harris makes points. So I don't see it.
But look what he did, excuse me, last year when he took control of the game when Embiid wasn't in. Notably versus the Lakers versus LeBron, and he was the best player.
Yeah.
Excuse me, got hiccups there. Got the beer kicking in. He's the best. He was the best player on the court, beating out LeBron. I need that. You know, that's what we drafted him to be. That's what I need. I don't want to hear these low scoring triple doubles. Like, apparently, sat in there. He's the fastest player to a triple double in X amount of years. Like, congratulations. Everyone knows he's not going to shoot. He's one-dimensional now. He's defense, and he gets to the rim. That's all he can do.
I feel like every team has that one guy.
Not like this. Not when this dude is supposed to be, like, the top.
No, I don't mean it like that.
I meant,
like, every team has that one guy they're not going to win without. Sixers aren't going to win without Embiid.
No. Embiid, Z.
You can look at every single team in the NBA right now and pick out one guy on each team. Like, the Mavericks aren't going to win without Luka Doncic.
Nope. Nope.
The Lakers, they're not going to win without Anthony Davis. Let's be real. LeBron's at a point in his career, he ain't going to put the team on his back and get you there.
I still think he can. LeBron is the best player of all time.
I'm a big LeBron fan. I like LeBron. Always like him.
Best player of all time.
Michael Jordan.
Oh, okay. Shut up. He's the best. Jordan's second. But anyway.
But looking around the league, I mean, you can keep going.
Yeah, you can keep going. You're right. But when you in this league, you're saying you need more than one player. We don't need one player, Embiid, and a whole bunch of halves. What we have, we need Embiid and Ben to be the twin towers. They're the guys, and then everyone else.
But I think they finally put the roster around both of these guys.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where Ben doesn't have to be that offensive juggernaut. He can be the guy who makes those, like, he can be the defensive stalwart. He can, you know.
Yeah, but what good is defense? I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're a good defender. He limits, you know, the best players to, you know, practically nothing. That's great and all. But I would still sacrifice some of the points to get out there to score the ball more. And maybe we're not in the, you know, single digits late in the fourth. You know what I mean? Maybe we have a lead. That's what I want. That's what I want to see him do. And it could happen. Who knows? But as of right now, compared to last year, this year, Ben has regressed. The great.
Offensively, yeah.
Yeah, all around. I mean, he's regressed, man. I mean, granted, the rest of the team is damn good around him. Like, the rest of the team is just lights out good.
Does he have to do that much right now, though?
Right now? No. I'm going to say no right now, just because the way this league is. Come postseason, yes. 100%.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. You see him as the season goes on, he realizes, and the team realizes, like, all right, you know, Embiid, he was ripping through double teams, but now they kind of got it set up to where, like, yeah, even if he beats the double team, they still got X, Y, and Z covered, like, you know, the shooters on the team. So now we got to get Ben a little bit involved, maybe a little pick and roll action or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No doubt. But I just need him to be the all-star we drafted him to be. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I need him to be Embiid 1, him 2, not Embiid, then everyone else 2nd. Like, you know what I mean? Entire team 2nd. Like, I need these two to be the guys. These two.
I completely agree. But they're both, I mean, yeah, Embiid is, what, a couple years older than Ben?
Yes.
So.
Still, but I mean, a big man too. He's not. He probably has what, 3 years left, maybe. Four if we're lucky. Yeah, because big guys, they don't last long.
Yeah, until he starts to go downhill, I'd say another 4, maybe.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 4. Exactly. This is the time to win now. Yeah, you know, this isn't like, oh, let's see what happens. Maybe a couple years. No, we have to win. Like, and Ben Simmons is gonna be the key to us winning. He's going to be. And I need him to actually put up points so we can do that. There you go. Whew, take a breath now.
All right.
I mean, dude, listen, we're nitpicking with the Sixers. We're not dissing the Sixers anyway, shape, or form. This is 100% nitpicking because they are a damn good team.
This isn't like us going back and forth about the Eagles. I mean, how can we be even better?
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. We're talking, like, championship. We're talking, how can they beat the Lakers game with 7 of the finals? That's what we're talking about right now. This team is going to go to playoffs.
We're not talking about, like, you know, we're not talking about winning 13 games.
No. Championship. They're gonna be the playoffs. They're probably gonna be one of the top 3 seeds going into the playoffs. They're a damn good team. Like, that's just everything about
this. They're so well rounded.
Yes. Coach well, everything about this team as well. But another team that maybe isn't going that well. Maybe they're what's the word I'm looking for here? It's starting to fall from grace a little bit. Maybe their true colors are starting to come out now in this early going of the season.
Five games into the season.
Five games into the season. That defense is bad, man.
You know what? The Flyers are 3-1-1. They blew a game last night. They had 2-0 lead. They blew it. But I mean, okay, so
a little bit like a hooker on a street corner, man.
We're gonna be real here. The offense and the power play. The offense is good.
Top to bottom. Oh, you know, their offense is good. Their power play is fucking scary good. Their power play and how fast they get into the zone, dude. Their speed. But when you're in the bottom,
and I know you're licking your chops, getting ready is Carter Hart the real deal train here?
I'm like a wolf right now, and that Carter Hart and that Flyers team is a flock of sheep. And I'm just sitting back in the bushes. I'm just waiting to pounce, man. I'm foaming.
I'm hungry. Does Carter Hart look great? No, he doesn't look great.
Here's
some issues that they have going on. Like, Couturier, he hasn't played since, what, the second game?
Yes.
He's probably, I don't know if he's their best two-way forward, but he's up there. He does play a hell of a lot in the defensive zone. He is a great player. He's a good offensive player. But if you remember, like, when he first came in the league, he was a great defensive forward.
He was. But when you're – even without him, though, the Flyers right now are what? I think the bottom three teams when it comes to shots against. I think
generating any shots on offense either.
No, they're not. But granted, okay, the defense is bad. You can't expect Hart to be a stonewall when it's that bad. When you're in the bottom of the league, you can't expect him to be that guy, that freaking stonewall standing on his head goalie. That's just not how it really works anymore.
Especially not every game.
Not every game now, especially now with this condensed schedule. But I don't want to say I expected more out of him, but everyone's talking him up to be that stonewall, stay under head goalie, carry the team.
He's going into his second full year.
I don't know, man. Plus,
okay, so here's the defense in front of him. Ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
Ivan Provorov. That's it.
People love him.
He's great.
Apparently, according to you guys, he's like, that's all you need out there.
No.
You need.
Let's be real. Travis Sanheim, he's okay.
He's not
Robert Haig sucks. He chases the play all the time. People go, well, you know, he led the team in hits. Yeah, because he's behind the play the whole time. He's chasing guys in the zone.
Yeah, but a quick point real quick. I don't want to cut you off here. Quick point about the hit thing. Don't you guys love that?
Yeah, exactly. That's why everybody says, like, oh, yeah, he's leading the team a hit because he's slow and he sucks and he's chasing the play the whole time. So when he hits a guy because, like, he's late to the play, that's why he leads the team in hits. So he sucks. Justin Braun, that dude's best days have been behind him since he was in, like, San Jose 5 years ago.
He's not that
good. Next to Andrew McDonald, that dude, he can't, like, take a pass, he can't make a pass, he can't clear it out of the zone. I would rather him just lay in front of the net and stack his pads in front of Hart. Maybe that's a better defense if he just laid there and took a couple shots. And then, like, what else do you want? I mean, like, yeah, I was talking up, like, I think it was, like, Mark Friedman or whatever his name is. He played 5 minutes last night before he got hurt. Phil Myers, he's a good up-and-coming defenseman. He's now out with a rib injury. So it's like, we have nobody. Ghost is eligible to come back. He sucks. We already knew that.
Yeah, that's actually surprising, man. I thought, honestly, and I'm not busting anyone's chops here, I thought he was actually going to be a damn good player. And I'm not just saying that just to rub it in. I thought, dude.
Talk about a fall from grace.
Jeez, dude. He came out, he took that team by storm. And now it's like, maybe we should send him off to the stands here. We'll have him sell hot dogs for a little bit.
He might be better off selling Apple turnovers.
Turnover machine.
But a turnover stand. He might have a turnover stand at the blue line on the ice.
I mean, yeah, dude. It's 5 games in the season. I'm not going to go hardcore into this team yet. Because I will.
Honestly, like, I'm not worried that much about the offense. It's the defense that, you know, they got to find when it gets closer to the deadline, because they're going to be there. They're a good enough team.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no doubt. They're going to be in the playoffs. Are they going to be a shootout?
Yeah. They were a shootout goal last night, or like there was a 2-on-1 in overtime from being 4-1. So,
yeah. I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs. Maybe a middle seed somewhere. We'll see what happens. Maybe when everyone comes back from injury, maybe they can. They're not going to be the top seed like in the round robin. No. That's not going to happen.
No. They're not going to be a top seed.
No, that's gone. Get rid of that. Tampa
Bay is still really good.
Yeah, they're damn good.
Montreal is better.
And you got the South Philly Blues. You know, you can't forget them.
The Islanders are really good.
Yeah, they are.
The Islanders might be the best team.
Did you watch? This is talking about the Islanders. This is completely off. I'm derailing the show with this one. I think it was a 30 for 30 a couple years ago. Or the guy that bought the Islanders claimed he had all this money, he was actually broke. He had nothing, and he actually bought the team. You ever seen that?
No.
No, it was a 30 for 30. He had absolutely no money, but apparently he said he did. He was an oil tycoon or some shit like that. Dude, he actually bought the Islanders, and the banks never asked for anything. So he flat out bought the team, was talking about, you know, changing their sweaters up because it was hideous, and getting a new, you know, arena, because I guess it was a Coliseum, whatever the hell they call it. I can't remember what it was called back then. Coliseum. That's it. Yep. It was falling apart, and he was like, all this stuff. And then I guess I think it was a reporter did some digging on him, and like, this dude has nothing, and it broke that he had nothing and he lost the team. dude,
sucks.
Yeah, dude, I watched it. I'm pretty sure it was a 30 for 30, dude. It was probably one of the best 30 for 30s I've watched. Just the sheer, like, the sheer stupidity of it, I guess you could say. The banks never ask for any paperwork. But, all right, so I'm done.
If we're talking 30 for 30s and sports documentaries, I'm going to get into something real quick here.
Oh, go for it.
The 30 for 30 is probably my favorite is the one about the Detroit Pistons from, like, the Bad Boys era.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
That was really good. That's so, like, good. If you watch The Last Dance with, like, Jordan and the Bulls.
I refuse to watch it.
This was almost like, oh, really? Dude, yeah. Great documentary.
I'm not gonna watch a documentary when it's directed and scripted by the guy it's about. I'm not doing it, man.
Michael Jordan, dude, okay. then you're missing out. But the Bad Boys Pistons one was almost like the opposite. It was like kind of see it from their view. Which came out years before The Last Dance.
Yes.
Anyway, The Last Dance was fantastic for anybody. I hadn't seen it yet. If you're a sports fan, if you, like, grew up watching Jordan, if you were, you know, if you're an adult during those, like, years when Jordan was in his heyday, well worth watching. Even if you're a kid and, you know, want to learn about it, great.
Yes.
However, 100%. What I started watching last night that really has gotten my attention, one of the best documentaries, and I think it's a two-part documentary. I think I'm at the very end of the first part, is called Tiger, the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Everyone's talking about that.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Man.
I haven't seen it. I do want to watch that because I grew up, actually, one of my first reports I've ever did was on Tiger Woods because I wanted to be Tiger Woods growing up when I was in kindergarten. So that's, I will watch that one day. But everyone that I've talked to loves that. Say damn good.
Dude, I started watching it last night. I can't wait to watch it again. Like, watch the rest of the first episode and then the second one tonight, because that's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Well done. It takes you basically through, like, his entire life from, like, birth all the way up until, you know, he makes his comeback and wins the Masters in, like, 2019 and now. You know what I mean?
Does it have, out of curiosity, so I haven't seen it, and does it have his wife chasing him with a golf club as he's driving away?
So
does it have that?
I'm up to the part now where they kind of talk about some of the history of, like, how his dad and one of his dad's, like, best friends really weren't, like, great role models for, you know, like, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. You know, banging Perkins's waitresses. You know, it's all good.
Yeah, like his dad literally had a Winnebago in the parking lot at like the country club and would offer lessons and had, I'm serious, had like young girls in there apparently.
Oh, Jesus.
So, God. I mean, this show is fantastic. Well, that's worth awesome. Watching. So.
That's awesome. Before we continue real quick, Mike, because I want to get back into the discussion we were just having before I derailed the show. But we got to do a quick crack one open to the to the fine people of Belly Up Sports.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
A little sip for you, belly up, real quick here. Need a little sip for you. Thank you, belly up. Appreciate that. But before I derail the show, what were we talking about again? God damn my brain, dude.
I believe.
Frickin' brain. It was about, I derailed the show. It was about to see Flyers, Sixers. Then I frickin' derailed the show with the 30 on 30.
Yeah, oh, we were talking, because the last thing I had said was that, like, I think the Islanders are arguably the best team.
That's right. Okay, thank you. Thank you there. And I derailed the show there with the 30 on 30 with the Islanders. Okay. The Flyers, they're going to be all right. They're going to make the playoffs. Granted, once everyone comes back and they play well, it's safe to say they're going to make the playoffs. That's just, it's going to happen. I mean, me being the Flyer hater that I am, I still want to see more before I'm convinced that this team is good. So I think the team is deep playoff worthy good. I think the team is good right now based on the power play and their speed to the zone. But I need to see defense. I need to see Carter Hart actually be what everyone talks him up to be. Similar to Ben Simmons, I guess you can say. But I need him to be the guy. I mean, Moose, he's not bad as the backup goalie. Yeah. He's not bad at all. But can he win you a Stanley Cup?
Any hot goalie at the right time.
Here we go.
Okay, yeah, I mean, what about the Dallas Stars last year? Anton Khudobin, a 34-year-old dude who's like almost, I mean, he started a few years in his career, but honestly, just like a career, like, backup or, like, platoon goalie, one of those, like, on and off goalies. He took the Stars there. He had, like, a 2.6 GAA. So, I mean, get hot at the right time. Just like quarterback in the NFL.
I'll give you that. That's a good point there. Speaking of quarterbacks in the NFL, I mean, not only do we have some big games going on this weekend, some of our childhood quarterbacks, man, that we grew up watching are retired, man. We hinted on it earlier. No more Philip Rivers, Drew Brees. They're just off to the wind.
Big Ben might be next.
Tom Brady, who knows? And that's Rodgers is the last remaining guy of our youth, man. That's it. It's gone. But speaking about, championship games this weekend, these four teams, I think these games, dude, it's going to be better than the Super Bowl. These matchups, Bills, Chiefs, then you got Green Bay, Tampa Bay. I think these two games are going to be better than the Super Bowl, man.
I can't wait. You're right. I think both these games are, like, right on the money, like, going to possibly be, like, three-point games, maybe one of them is an overtime game.
Oh, yeah. The only game I can see getting ugly, I don't want to say getting ugly quick, but it could get ugly, is the Green Bay game. If Tom Brady comes out and plays flat. And I'm pretty sure – oh, that's right. They kicked the shit out of Green Bay during the season. So now the revenge – they have the revenge – Green Bay has a revenge factor even going in this game. And there's a stat out there that teams that get blown out, they play again. It's a completely different story. That – damn, dude.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's what Tampa Bay is also playing for. I mean, yeah, they're going to be without Antonio Brown this week.
Yes.
Their defense looked great last week.
It did.
Part of it might have been because, like, Breeze has a noodle arm and we all knew it.
Cooked.
No,
but even noodle arm, dude, they still stopped. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean
to. They stopped Kamara, right?
Yes, they did.
Michael Thomas had a zero.
He had zero? He had a goose egg, right? Yes, he did.
Goose egg.
Yeah, a goose egg. I mean, that's still damn good. But, I mean, Tom Brady has a noodle arm. I mean, do we have to talk about the Titans game last year? And how bad that last Logan Ryan, who's a local kid, by the way, pick six to seal that game, how bad that throw was. No velocity on it. Oh, God, dude. But I just, that's the only game I see that could get ugly.
I don't think it does.
I mean, by ugly, I mean at least a two score game. It's playoff ugly. This isn't regular season ugly.
I think both games will be pretty close.
Yes.
Maybe it's a 3-point game and he throws another pick six and it ends up a 10-point game.
Almost like a garbage time point. Okay.
Without Antonio Brown this week.
Yes.
But their run game, I mean, Leonard Fournette looks good.
Yeah, he does look good. He does look really good.
He looks rejuvenated.
He does.
I mean, what, like 3 years ago, the dude was like just bulldozer. I mean, even last year, the guy was really good.
Yeah, he was. He was.
What else Tampa Bay is playing for, too. A home Super Bowl.
Oh, that's another. See, I had that against them, man, because there's never been a team to play at, I guess, home team Super Bowl, I guess you could say, or home, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if they're. That's another reason I think it's going to be Green Bay as well. All these things are stacked against Tampa right now. All these things. But the game that interests me most is the Bills, the Chiefs game. Because I have some conspiracy theories, I guess you could say, about this game.
Is one of them how you called me crazy last week when I said the Browns are going to give them a game? And you were like, no.
If Patrick Mahomes didn't get hurt, would it have been a game?
I don't know. The Browns were coming back even with him in it, right? I mean, they were a poor helmet-to-helmet call away.
Yeah, no call away. God, I killed it. That play right there just sealed the game in my mind. That's at least three. Okay, I'd say it's helmet to helmet.
That was before the end of the half, I think, right?
Yes, yeah. I'd say it's helmet to helmet, 15-yard penalty. Right, it'll be personal. Yeah, so it'll be a 15-yard penalty. So that's at least 3 points right there. Regardless, they don't get a touchdown. That's at least it'll be 15 yards because it'll be, or is that a spot fail? No, it's not a spot fail. So it'll be 15 yards.
No, it's half distance. Yeah.
Oh, it's half. Okay, so I'd just say regardless of where it is, that's at least 3 points off the board. That changes the entire outlook of the team. That's momentum. That no-call robbed the Browns. Granted, you can credit Kansas City's defense stepping up there that last drive, which I don't know why they punted the ball away, Cleveland. I don't know why they didn't go for it, but I digress.
Yeah.
Then you let, what's his name? What's the quarterback? Chad Henne? Is that the quarterback?
Chad Henne.
Freaking run for almost a first down. And that 4th-and-1 call. So that 4th-and-1, first of all, before I get into that, Tony Romo is by far the best, I guess, color analyst, is that the word he is, in football right now. He is the best. Dude, I was like, I had goosebumps watching that final play, dude. I was like, edge of the seat, like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, edge of the seat. They're not going to call a play. Look at the body language. They're not going to call a play. And I'm like, yeah, Romo, you're right. They're not going to call a play with a backup quarterback. What the fuck they doing? And they run that play, which was a thing of beauty, dude. That rollout, get the quarterback on the move, and hit, what's his name? And that little crossing. The hell's this guy in the
hill? Hill?
Yes, it was Ty. Was it Tyreek Hill? It might have been Tyreek Hill. Yeah, it was Tyreek Hill coming at a little crosser, you know, just enough for the first down, coming from the other side of the field with a backup quarterback, dude. The balls of Andy Reid. Like, he's that you know, that meme of Randy Marsh with the balls in the wheelbarrow. Put Andy Reid's face on that, dude. Even my brother, you know, Kevin, he called me up, like, freaking out. He's like, I cannot fucking believe Andy Reid called that play. Holy fuck, the balls. Like, dude, everything that happened, it felt like an eternity watching it. I think it was only, was it 30? They had, like, 30 seconds, I think. 25 seconds.
Something
like, yeah, something like that. Felt like an attorney, Tony Romo going off. They're lined up right. Not gonna go for it, and they go for it. And watching the play develop, and I don't know how. A typical Cleveland move. They just let Tyreek Hill there. I don't think there's anyone like 2 or 3 yards even around them, if I remember that play correctly. Like, you would think, okay, here's the players that I watch: Kelce, Tyreek Hill. And there's nothing. There's nothing around them. Like, that's wild. Such a Cleveland, yeah. But I just, oh god, that game, dude. That game was amazing. And you know what? I hope. God damn it, dude. I hope Kansas City goes to the Super Bowl and wins it all, because the bets I have are going on strictly money related. But Buffalo, man. Do you see the meme going around that Dick's Sporting Goods is stocking collapsible tables in the sporting section or football section,
or
some shit like that?
That's a hell of an idea for that merchandiser.
Oh, it is. And dude, I want to see that. I want to see flaming tables in the parking lots of the Super Bowl, because even though there's not gonna be fans in the stands, you know, all around the stadium, because Florida, it's warm weather, there's gonna be this people going crazy. I want to see, you know, flaming tables, people jumping off light posts, Bills Mafia going crazy. I want to see that, man.
I always will support the Chiefs. I'm a closet Chiefs fan, if you will. You know, obviously it's like Eagles. I'm a diehard Eagles fan, and then
the South Philly Blues.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I sit there and I do the tomahawk in my house. Yeah. Anyway. I've always like. Can't stand the Atlanta Braves, but anyway, that makes me sick, because the Braves did that for years.
Yep, yes they did.
But yes, they did. Like, I kind of want to see Kansas City, but like you were saying, man, like it would be cool, because you know how like when you're watching football and like you kind of remember like the first Super Bowls that you really paid attention to. The first Super Bowls I really paid attention to were like Dallas and Buffalo, when like Jim Kelly was the quarterback for the Bills.
Oh, and man. They just
couldn't beat Dallas, man. So I actually had like a Jim Kelly like action figure doll where like you could like bend his legs, and like I remember they were always losing, so I'd like bend his legs backwards. So I think it would be really cool to see like a Buffalo Green Bay Super Bowl, like two of like the like, you know, obviously, like, I feel we're the most passionate fan base, but, you know, we...
100%.
Buffalo, Joe, we'll just say for this show, like, Buffalo and Green Bay could, and Kansas City for that matter, those guys can all be tied for, like, second most passionate fan base out there.
Yes.
But, yeah, Buffalo, Green Bay, I think would be cool. Two small market teams, you know.
So here's one for you. So this goes with the conspiracy theory about, you know, what is it called? Small market teams. So going back to that Chiefs game, everyone saw the hit on Patrick Mahomes. Now, granted, his helmet never hit the ground. Everyone saw him get up. He couldn't even stand. He had that dazed look in his head, face, like, where the hell am I? I'm a quarterback? Football? What is going? Who are you people? We all saw that happening. The fact that now all of a sudden, it got changed to, oh, it's just a stinger, a nerve in his neck. Just a nerve in his neck, stinger. Oh, he passed all concussion protocols. There was no, I talked to my brother when I was sitting in my lunch break at work today. There was absolutely no way in hell the NFL was not going to have Patrick Mahomes play in the championship game. No way in hell. That would not happen. I don't care. They can put him. Oh yeah, he passed concussion protocol. Their concussion protocol probably for this game is, yo, dude, what's your name? Well, how do you snap the ball? Okay, you're good to go. Set him out there. That's literally they were not going to have him not on the field. It was not going to happen.
And I would even argue like did have a concussion. Maybe they let him not play this one, and somehow Chad Henne got them to the Super Bowl. So here's a thought.
Super Bowl week.
Yeah, this is like not really a conspiracy theory. The year we're in, still in a pandemic. Yeah, there's a vaccine available, but
it's gonna take a good year still. Another year to get fully back to normal.
Yeah, and athletes really aren't on that. I mean, like, let's be honest here. If they weren't like healthy from a general health standpoint, they would not be playing.
No. Besides this game. And all right, your Patrick
Mahomes. So Super Bowl. You have the Super Bowl bye week. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Tampa isn't necessarily Miami, so I mean, like, you're not going to nightclubs and stuff.
No.
However, you're
Tampa Bay, dude. Tampa Bay's a hell of a party town.
Yeah.
Hell of a party town, man. Downtown Tampa. Who?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But so it's you have that Super Bowl bye week. You have like media days and all this other stuff. What happens if, like, big names on those teams test positive?
The NFL's going to have to be like, well, if it'll be,
do you know when you play the Super Bowl? Are the Green Bay Packers going to start like Jordan Love or Tim Boyle or Tom Boyle, whatever his name is?
Not at all.
You know,
and you're going to
the Buffalo Bills start Matt Barkley?
Good old Matt Barkley. No, you're going to have. They're going to be Zoom media days and be Zoom based, dude. I guarantee the players on the DL are going to have to sign some kind of waiver. You will not venture outside this hotel. I'm sure the NFL probably booked hotels and rented out. There's going to be a bubble system in place. They're not going to come out and say there's a bubble system in place, but it's a Super Bowl. It's the biggest money-making thing, sporting event ever in the entire year. Granted, I think it's going to be down sales-wise, especially around the city might be down.
They're going to have fans.
Yeah, they're going to have fans, but it's not going to be as big. I mean, maybe around – I think Florida has loose COVID rules, so maybe the city itself will probably still be popping. But there's going to be a bubble around the actual players where they're staying and the actual – to the game.
I guarantee you, no matter who is in it, this will be up there. I won't say it will be the most viewed Super Bowl, but this will be up there Everybody pretty much still staying in their own house for the most part.
No, it will be the most heavily viewed Super Bowl just because of that. Just because everyone's going to be home. You still have, you know, I think they're only allowing like a third of capacity into the stadium. Excuse me. It's going to be the most viewed. I mean, I know I'm watching it to see what the weekend's face looks like. Since the plastic surgery, I mean, I want to see that. I don't really care about his music. I just want to see how bad his face looks.
Ruth.
That's just me, though.
Baby Ruth? Is that like a commercial he's going to be in?
No. I don't know. I don't even know any of his music. I just want to see, because all the memes going around, I just want to see what his face looks like. That's just me. that's just me there.
He's actually probably going to go down as arguably one of the... I don't know.
You don't know?
I was going to say is, like, he's probably the... You know, getting a little off topic here is probably hot take. The Weeknd will go down as a better, I guess, pop artist than Bruno Mars. There you go. I said it.
I can't agree or disagree with you. So I'm just going to take your word. I guess I'll take your word. Maybe I'll agree. I don't know. I mean, who was the last year's Super Bowl? Last year was halftime. I'm having blank. I know. The 1 year Atlanta year was the year it was supposed to have the SpongeBob thing, and they teased us with it, and they pulled it, and that sucked. That was Atlanta.
To be completely honest with you, I don't remember who was during the year we won at all.
it was Justin Timberlake, I think.
Was it? Because
yes, I think it was Justin Timberlake. During
halftime, I can just remember like calling my dad.
Yes, I think it was Justin Timberlake. Like, yes,
is this really
happening?
Like, what's going on right now?
Because I know so Christina.
I didn't watch the halftime show.
Yeah, no, Christina was all. That's the only reason why she was watching it. It was for Justin Timberlake. But I don't know. I think that the following year, was that Atlanta? I can't remember. Who the hell was last year, though?
The year Atlanta and New England was in it, it was like Lady Gaga.
That was Lady Gaga. Yes, I remember that year. But who the hell was last year? Yes.
Who was the...
Who the fuck was last year, dude? This is going to annoy me now.
Wait, wasn't... Which one was
it? I mean, the show's wrapping up anyway.
Which one was like Shakira?
Oh, that was last year. You're right. Shakira, J-Lo, because the whole controversy about the pole dancing.
Yeah!
That's right. Okay.
Yeah!
Yeah, that was nice.
Ooh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, now it's coming back to me.
Ooh, I
never watch it. Like, should I be watching this right now? This might get me in trouble.
I'm looking on my remote last year, and I'm like, what's the X-rated button?
Yeah, I know, right?
What button takes the clothes off? No, I'm kidding.
I know, you're not kidding. I don't think.
I am kidding.
I think, I'm pretty sure 99.9% of all guys out there watch Super Bowl is like, is there going to be a wardrobe malfunction here? What's going to happen with this?
They were looking over to their significant others and being like, this is wrong.
This is wrong. This is so not Christian right now. We can't be watching this as we're hitting the record button. Little TiVo record button.
Like I was looking on my remote for any sort of extra features I had.
Oh, gotcha, right. That was last year. Okay. Now, all in all, though, that show wasn't bad. Again, I don't know their music. I don't care for their music. It's not my cup of tea. But the show itself wasn't bad. You can't say the show. I mean, okay, take the hot, the extreme. You know, that's to say there are two rather attractive women that just everyone knows that. I'm trying to be... Think my words here as I say them, so I don't get in trouble. I know, right? Before I talk myself into a corner. They're two rather attractive women, and there was a lot of controversy. But the show itself, with I guess the way they put it on, take the pole dancing out of it, wasn't that bad. It was not that bad a performance. You take the pole dancing and this everything else out of it, but I don't know. I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, real quick. I know the show's wrapping up here, but you going to watch a fight tomorrow night?
Or Saturday night? I haven't really decided yet, honestly.
Dude, I used to hate Conor McGregor. He is now probably my favorite athlete of all time. I love that fucking dude.
I might stream it illegally.
Oh, yeah, of course. So I'm going to pay money for that shit. I'll pay money for the Jake Paul fight, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'll gladly pay money to watch him get his ass kicked. But this fight, nah, I'll stream the fuck out of this. Fuck you, pay-per-view. But, that's gonna be a damn good fight. I think McGregor wins it by a landslide. It might be over in a second round. But McGregor is a fucking man, dude. That's all I'm gonna say. McGregor is the fucking man. But, I think that's it,
all, folks.
Fuck, that episode went by quick. God damn. Anything, closing thoughts, Mike?
Just the usual, you know, wipe your workman. Everybody stay safe out there and enjoy a nice, what I hope is two great games leading up to the Super Bowl. So next week, I don't know if we'll have the Super Bowl preview next week, maybe the week after.
Yeah, maybe a Super Bowl, maybe a special encore Super Bowl related show only. Maybe following Super Bowl or something. We'll think of something. We'll get something together here.
We got time.
We got like what? 3 weeks? 3.5 weeks? Some shit like that. We got time. We got plenty of time. We'll fucking figure it out.
I'm sure we'll do it live.
Catalina Wine Mix. But, alright, you heard the man. The famous words, Wiper Workman. Love it. That'll never get old. We should make a shirt out of that. Don't forget, Wiper Workman. Or remember, Wiper Workman on the back of the True Degenerates. But as usual, folks, stay degenerate. Thank you.